Hello and welcome to North East Access Radio. We're coming to you on frequency 90.3, that's FM. And also welcome to the Senior Citizens Programme. And in studio, or maybe on the phone, I think we're going to have Sean Moynihan, CEO of Alone. He'll be talking to us about what they have planned in the future and what they hope to do and what sort of lobbying they're going to do with regard to the needs of the people that they look after. I think we may have Sean on the line at the moment. Are you there, Sean?
I am, Austin. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to yourself, and it's a lovely afternoon indeed. And I believe now you're lobbying now just at the moment, and you're putting a lobby for, is it 84.5 million a year for the next year, 10 years, to look after the people that you do look after and take care of?
Absolutely. I suppose what we've been what we're advocating at the moment is we're trying to get across the housing needs of an ageing population. And what we're trying, as you can imagine, we want everybody to have a home. But when you look at the numbers, we've produced a document for the way for housing choices for older people, Time for Action. There are certain things around older people's housing we've been wasting 20 and 30 years. Everybody agrees. And when they look at the subject, that we need more housing choices for older people. We need housing adaptation schemes that work. And we need options and alternative to nursing homes. But what we've done is come out with a report with what are the demands and what are the costs. And ultimately is we want to make sure that by solving the problem for older people, you're actually solving the problems of housing issues for younger people at the same time.
Yes, and quite a lot of houses, you reckon, can be adapted. You might have houses with one person living in them as such, and it can be adapted to take maybe another person in their own sort of private area as such.
Yeah, and I think this did.
Oh yeah, I think maybe this is one of the things in the future. That it's been sort of flagged, you know, and
absolutely,
yeah,
and that's why that's why we're calling the houses choices. Different people will have different needs. There are a percentage of people that 84 million that adaptation, so that 20% of all over 65s have facility problems where maybe they can't access to their bathroom is no longer suitable, access to the house, electricity, roofing. So that's their housing choices to remain at home, and we need to make those houses habitable and able to accommodate them. So for certain people where in retirement maybe have rented all their lives and can't afford rent in the areas that we're in, we need to build housing, social housing. For those who wish to, shall we say, right size, down size, we need to produce houses within a kilometre of where they live, and they'll free up houses for younger people, where people wanted to take on those choices. So we've gone through all these different types and put a price and a quantity on them, because ultimately is instead of having a situation where we're only talking about older people's houses being accessed maybe by younger people, we actually are trying to talk about the housing needs of older people.
Yes, older, the more senior a person gets, and you know, they always like to stay within their own community, where their friends are, and etc. Maybe if they lived in the area for maybe 40, 50, 20, whatever amount of years. They know everything. They know the shopkeepers. They know the usual, the postman, everybody. And they're, you know, they're, to be moved to somewhere else can be, a very hazardous sort of thing. So you're suggesting that they stay within about a kilometre, which is a huge amount of distance from where they lived and what area of parish they were in or whatever.
Yeah, so what we've done is you know, instead of being a pressure for people, if they wanted to right-size, is we'd have a situation that, from surveys, around 15% of older people said they would move if there were nicer, if there were choices for small units in their area. So, move within a mile. But that means building 56,000 units just to get just to support those 15%. But the difference there is that obviously, whether they're private or social, will free up 56,000 units of housing that may then be used by families. Older people get something that's suitable that they wanted, and families get access to a stock of housing that maybe currently is being underutilised because maybe it's no longer suitable for the individual or for a couple, and we go forward from there. And we think by solving problems and supports for older people, we're solving it for everybody, rather than having a situation that we build keep building the same three-bedroom semis we've always built, but ultimately it actually doesn't solve any problems for older people, and we can't build them at the capacity that we need anyway for the families or for couples.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, total sense. And 56,000 seems to be a huge number. But, sorry, I'm barking here. The 56,000 seems to be a huge number. But in the greater Dublin area, it isn't all that big with regard to houses. And the huge amount of housing that was built in the 50s and the 60s particularly have to be adapted anyway to make them more efficient with regard to heat. And this is an absolute time to be adapting them for older people.
Absolutely. So if you imagine for those 15% who have right size, there's still 85% of older people will age in the house they've owned or they've rented all their lives. And what we need to do for them, that's where the adaptation grants are necessary, because if somebody develops a disability or if, the house is too cold and it's a health hazard, or if there's a step in the front porch, that person no longer can get in. All of these things, that's what we need the grant money for. So now we've got a situation that we're creating choices for older people, and also we're making choices for the community, and we're making choices that meets our needs when we get a little bit older.
Yeah, to do these things now at the moment will be a hell of a lot cheaper than in 10 years' time, when the population of older people may have nearly doubled.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's the challenge here, and the reason we've come out with this is we want, people will be aware that the whole scheme at the moment is called Rebuilding Ireland. We want Rebuilding Ireland to be reviewed to add in the ageing population. So what happens is maybe when they're finished, Rebuilding Ireland is meant to finish in 2021, maybe 2021 to 2031 is about building housing for an ageing population. So that ultimately is we don't end up with a similar crisis for people over 60 and over 70 and over 80 in around four or five years' time, because we've changed as a country with people not buying and that number of people owning dropping. What happens to those people when they go past work age? What happens to their safety and security? Where do they go and what do they do? And we need to plan for the impact of that too.
Yes, and now we have the appalling situation where people have been renting maybe 20 years, 25 years, 15 years, and the landlord is selling up the house and they get notice to quit. And there may be only one or two elderly people, and to go looking for somewhere else at that period of their life, it can be disastrous. Absolutely disastrous. They wouldn't even know, some of them wouldn't even know how to start looking. And even those younger people are put at the pin of the collar trying to rent because they can't afford to buy. And social housing, is the way forward. And there's a general scheme up at this area now for 30% of social housing on development up in the Lawrence Land, and 20% affordable rental, whichever affordable rental means. Nobody seems to have any idea what it means.
What that number is, yeah.
Yeah, but the 30% of social housing anyway, the government will be giving the city council the money to buy them. Now, that plan
these
is...
These are the conversations, these, as you outlined there, these are the conversations we need to have. These are the situations. We can't have people in their 60s and 70s and 80s losing their homes that they've rented forever and having nowhere to go, no safety, no security. But if we don't plan for the ageing population, if we don't plan for the fact that a huge amount of people won't buy in their lifetime, then we're going to end up with a situation of the crisis and the numbers that we have for younger people now and for families is going to be a drop in the ocean. It's going to be much smaller because the amount of older people involved here is actually much bigger.
Yes, and you know, the situation now at the moment, even younger people, two of them working, and can't afford the rent. They were just about afford the rents, which could be 1,500, 2,000 a month. They couldn't be able to save for to buy a house anyway. And sooner or later, they're going to fall back on social housing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what we think that, you see, if we build a smaller units for older people in social housing and also in right-sizing in the community, right, they're actually, you know, you're going to, every time you build one, if you're going to build one, you'll actually save around 20,000. They're cheaper to build. If you imagine that 56,000 we talked about earlier for right-sizing, right?
Yeah.
That'll say, by building that rather than three-bedroom semis, you'll still get 56,000, probably three-bedrooms and two-bedrooms. Do you know what I mean? Houses, right? By building them, you probably save half a billion euros as well. So, ironically, by building the houses for the older people, you'll actually save money. On the other end, if you build the social housing for older people, you take them out of the HAP scheme, you take them out of the private rented sector, you reduce the pressure on that, and at the same time it's cheaper to build, and at the same time you're providing older people with safety and security for the rest of their lives, which we'll all need and all want.
Yes, and adapting houses now, like I say, there were some of them built in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and they lose heat at a rapid rate, and the insulation and all that can alleviate the problem. And of course, you can get free insulation if you're on, you know, the different schemes and such. But lots of people, you know, if the weather's like this, we're going to think it's going to be like this forever. But it can turn around very, very quickly to very, very cold weather, particularly, you know, in November and December and maybe September as such. We had the prolonged spell of sunshine and no water as such, and water is a thing now that quite a lot of senior citizens, you know, it was there, they just turned on the tap and the water came and there was no questions asked, you know. But when the well runs dry, that's an entirely different situation, and particularly senior citizens use that little bit more. They might, now it won't be for making cups of tea or that, but they probably use that little bit more water as such, and they are very, very conscious of conserving water. And I've no doubt this may be a concern for you yourself.
It's ironically during the summer we had the dry spell that we've been checking in with people, because extremes of temperature are dangerous to, you know, under 6 and over 75. That the extreme of temperature. So it doesn't matter if it's hot or it's cold. In the winter, we obviously have a terrible thing called excess winter deaths, where more people pass away. But people from the cold houses, the poorly built, this goes back to the adaptations and the needs of minding people. It is, people get respiratory problems and they get pneumonia and things like that. And unfortunately, people pass away. And that's directly linked to the cold. Unfortunately, in the direct heat, you can actually get the same things. People can have strokes and can have, you know, it can bring on attacks and conditions, and people go very dehydrated without knowing it because of medication. So extremes of weather are attack and challenge those that are most vulnerable, and that generally is those under 6 and those over 75. So we've been supporting and making sure everybody's safe and well during the hot spell, similarly to what we do during a cold spell. We've used the same systems and the same ways of communicating and support.
Yes, and we know you have a huge amount of volunteers. I think it's about 1,500, is it?
Yeah, we're close to that now, and it's probably growing at around 80 a month. So, unfortunately, the demand, because of the changing demographics, the amount of people who need support, practical support, whether that's around befriending and company, or whether that's around access to grants, or whether that's transport, or whether that's access to health, the numbers who need support just keep going up. Again, we've launched a housing thing, because we can only accommodate around 6% of the amount of people who apply to us. We have a huge amount of people for every house. And then when we look at it, no matter how many houses we develop, and we plan to develop another 500 houses in the next 5 years, it still won't be enough. We need a national response, and so hence we produce reports and documents to try and stimulate the conversation and the debate, so people realise that there is an issue around housing for older people, and then opportunities like this allow us to put that into the public domain and people can understand it and support it as we go forward.
Now, would you describe that as an emergency?
Well, I think we're not at it yet, but we're on the way there.
Extreme urgency.
The point of us flagging this stuff is to try and get momentum behind it. The problem is I think if we've learned nothing in the last 10 years, what we learned is with housing, we can't turn on the tap quickly. And if we don't start building the housing now, we will have the emergency and we will have the crisis. And what will happen is somebody will say, oh, nobody said this. Nobody told us we needed to do anything. And in some ways, what we're trying to do is add to the debate, support the government department, support the people by actually putting the issues out there and saying, we need to talk about these. These are needs we need to address. And if we don't address them, we will end up in a bad place.
Yeah. Now, with the City Council, I presume you're dealing directly with the City Council and more or less indirectly with the central government and such. Would this be the scenario?
Absolutely. I mean, we'll do a lap in September. The politicians now are gone on holidays. They'll be working in their constituencies, but we'll do a lap of all the politicians, all the political parties with the reports with housing after in September, October. We'll be targeting and communicating with all the councils, city councillors, up and down the country. You know, obviously, a huge stronghold in Dublin for us, but ultimately is we need to influence people's thinking and influence people's priorities so that we can resolve this issue for the older people and people just to get the scale of what has to be done here. So, there's one type of housing, which is housing with support, which is an alternative to nursing home. It was first flagged in 1988, and we've really, at the moment, we're only currently building 50 units, you know, as a tester. We figure the demand is closer to 4,000 units. So we've a long way to go. We're only at the starting gate of this, but the campaigning here will go on, and we will work to try and work with people to actually bring these housing choices and solutions around.
Yeah, and that was like 30 years ago. 30 years
and
a long time.
And that's what can happen. You know, things re-emerge and we've got to keep going. And without pressure, without people pushing for these things, that's what happens, they disappear.
Yes, and of course now we're sort of going into an election mode or pre-election mode, if you like to call it that, which we got, and politicians now will be calling on all sorts of people, local and national politicians, even just to let them know they're there. And there's leaflets going around now at the moment, so there's an indication maybe in the next year it will be a general election. It may even be before that, but we haven't got a crystal ball, so we don't know. But it's on the horizon, and they'll be promising all sorts of things. And delivering is
absolutely
another thing.
I think what we're trying to do is, whether it's home health and home care, whether it's housing, whether it's access to services around only the support stage or home, we're campaigning hard for them, and if they head into election zone, we'll be pushing there. People sometimes talk about the grey vote and all that. I sometimes think that older people and the people I meet are as likely to ask for something for their grandchildren as for themselves. And I think people need to make sure to advocate for themselves, or maybe other people to advocate for their parents or their grandparents. But ultimately, is if we plan for older people, we'll solve a lot of the problems for younger people too.
Yeah, and that brings me back to the medical card issue. The Grey vote there worked enormously, and it changed the government's mind overnight. And I think it can be done again.
I think it can, and I think we've got to tap into that. People have got to understand that, like, the number of over 65 is going to double and treble, and that ultimately is these are services for their family, for themselves, even their partners, their spouses, their brothers, their sisters. You know, getting old is the actual greatest outcome in the world. You know, it is the greatest outcome, and we're living longer, which is a great thing too. But that means we need supports to kick in, we need housing to kick in, and we need some rights for older people to make sure that they just don't get the same amount of services and spread them thinner and thinner and thinner.
Yes, and normally politicians only think in 4 or 5 years, and you're like this was flagged 30 years ago, and this is the time to make sure that the provisions are put in place, and you're looking for 84,000 84.5 million per year. And of course, the value of that money will be going down year after year after year. It won't be indexed.
I think in some ways housing is an interesting one, because, like, housing is an infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, if you invest in a house, in a building, it's got 40, 50 years. Do you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, if that house is used by several people, I mean, the value you get back from it. And from houses, people raise children. From houses, people participate in the community. From houses, people pay taxes. But without them, you know, they live well. Without them, very little can happen. So really, you know, everything we can spend to provide people, older people, with the ability to age at home is money well spent. And the community will get its value back. And older people pay their way, they pay their rent, and paid for houses, so ultimately we need to support.
Yes, Sean, and I totally agree with it. Do it now, and it's cheaper, and it'll be there for the next 30 or 40 or whatever it is. And this is the time to think about it, and this is the time for senior citizens to ask about it, and with regard to all sorts of provisions, including your own. And Sean, I'd like to thank you for coming on at a sort of short notice as such, and we will follow up this conversation bit by bit and see how it's progressing, and if any politicians are in with us, we will be starting asking those questions on your behalf and everybody else's behalf. And on that note...
That's wonderful.
And on that note, I'll say goodbye, and we'll see you. We will hear from you maybe in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
From Baldoyle to Beaumont.
Community Radio for North East Dublin. 90.3. 90.3. Near FM.